Sport on Highland, brought to you by the Michael Murphy Sports official GAA sale, with 30% off all official Donegal GAA leisure wear until this Monday the 16th. Shop and save online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll have a preview ahead of some big finals this weekend on the GAA front, with the junior and intermediate deciders to take place. The new season is up and running for the teams at ATU Donegal. We'll be hearing from head of sport at ATU, Michael Murphy, as well as the Gaelic men's manager, Maxi Kern, and the soccer manager, Shane Byrne. Our rugby correspondent, Alec McDonald, will preview a massive game for Ireland as they head to take on the All Blacks in Paris in the World Cup quarterfinal on Saturday. But we're going to start with football. And former Fin Harps captain, Keith Cowan, has this week been speaking to us to look ahead to Fin Harps' final home game of the season as they take on Athlone Town at Fin Park on Saturday afternoon. 2:30 is the start time, and we will have live coverage from that game here on Highland, as Harps, of course, look to end the season with a positive result at home. It hasn't gone the way that they wanted this year, but they're looking to give the home support something to cheer about at the weekend by taking one more victory at home before they end off the campaign. I spoke to Keith earlier today, obviously, about the Harps and a few other things as well, including how things are going at Derview at the moment. Before we talk about Harps and a few other bits and bobs, Derview losing out last week against Institute in the First Division, but I'm sure you'll be looking for a bounce back this weekend against Ballyclare away.
Yeah, it's a game that, look, I think every look across the league and the results, the way they seem to happen, you know, every team's beatable. The previous 2 weeks, we picked up 2-1s in a row for the first time this season, you know, which gives a bit of confidence moving forward. There's been a bit of not knowing where we lie too much in terms of management. Ivan Sproul came in there for a few games and took us and, you know, did a really good job. And last night, there just the appointment of Emma Friars as the new manager of the club. So he'll be looking to put a stamp on things. I think it's Ivan still in charge now tomorrow night. But then from next week on, it'll be Emma taking charge.
So obviously, listen, you'll be looking for more positive results in the weeks ahead, and I'm sure Fin Harps will be looking for more positive results over the closing two matches. Last home game of the season against Athlone Town. How tall an order is it going to be for Harps to maybe end the season on a positive note and get a win tomorrow night?
Well, I think from a player's maybe and supporter's point of view, I think they might be able to be looking forward to get the season over. Look, it's always important to try and get as many points on the board, you know, come the end of the season. That's the way it'll be judged, I suppose. I think they're going to be stuck in that ninth spot. I don't think that they're going to be looking to get any higher. Look, they're 19 points off the playoffs. It's not ideal. The season hasn't gone to plan. You know, with Dave Rogers coming in, it hasn't went the way that he would have wanted it, or the supporters, or the players for that matter. Look, I think it's just a take of restock now and, you know, see what players are going to be around for next year. A couple of positives, I suppose, to focus on are, you know, the young players getting game time. But in terms of, I think it's an early kickoff on Saturday. Look, I think it'll just be important to try and get a good crowd and, you know, hopefully see the young players, you know, get more game time and, you know, get a bit more experience under the belt looking into next year.
Yeah. 2:30 is the kickoff time Saturday afternoon in Fin Park. By the way, we will have live coverage from that match here on Highland. You're mentioning the young players, and I was reading today, it was interesting to note that 10 players made their senior debuts from the academy this year, which is quite a lot on reflection to other years gone by, Keith, which despite the results not being there, this is still very much a positive.
Well, I think that was the kind of the idea at the start of the year, was to get players as much game time as possible, you know, and, you know, get players their debut and get them that experience. Unfortunately, you know, I suppose in terms of the management side of it, you know, there was massive frustration there, maybe in terms of the results and, you know, the missing out on, you know, games that maybe that they should have won, performances maybe weren't there. But that's what you're going to get with the young players. And I think it was maybe unfair at times that they, you know, sort of bore the brunt of some of the results that Hearts were getting. Look, I think it was Kevin said today, you know, Kevin McHugh said today, look, that is a massive positive that these players have got that experience. And it bodes well for the future. You know, again, yeah, we focused on we mentioned there about the results hadn't been good enough. But as long as these players are getting minutes in the league, you know, that'll only bode well for the squad and which is probably will be a total rebuild for next year.
And again, just looking at that game on Saturday, I'm sure Darren Murphy's going to be in the dressing room, and like they've mentioned the Finn Harp support throughout the entire year. They want to end the season at home by giving them something to cheer about on Saturday.
Yeah, they will. And the support has been amazing. You know, the support has been absolutely fantastic all year. You know, you wouldn't expect much less from the Harris faithful. You know, they've been there. I don't know, there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of down points or, you know, downsides to this season. But the Harris fans have always come out in force, and that's been really encouraging. And it's a real youthful, you know, support that's always there week in, week out, as well as a couple of the people that have been coming for years. But the fact that support is always there, yes, I'm sure Darren will mention that in his team talk, that, you know, to give these fans, you know, something to shout about in the last game of the season. Look, Athlone have really impressed me this year as well. You know, they've had a lot of quality signings, and you know they've done really well, picking up a couple of big results and giving Harps a few scalps this season as well. You know, so that'll be mentioned, you know, in the team talk as another reason to go out and put in a performance. It can be difficult to lift the players to try and put in something big at the end of the season. But hopefully Darren will get into them, and you know he'll have them lifted, and he'll want them to put on a good show for the fans.
Yeah. All right, just elsewhere around the league then, I see Treaty United have been linked to a buyout by a Canadian investment firm. Today, your old club, Drogheda United, has been linked with an American investment firm looking to purchase the club. Are these moves good for the League of Ireland, are they, Keith?
Well, I suppose that remains to be seen, you know, but look, more money coming into the league is only a positive thing. You know, the FAI aren't doing much to try and bring things forward, so these outside investors, look, I think if they're going to bring money, it's going to improve the infrastructure of the club. I think the Drogheda one was on the cards for a while now. There's a few different groups have been talking about about coming in and taking over. Now we see this group seems to have secured the investment and will be looking to take charge from next year. I think it is a positive for the league, but at the same time, you know, we saw the model that was done in Dundalk. You know, those American investors came in there. Yes, there was the initial, I suppose there was the initial bounce that they got, and you know, I can't say Dundalk have dropped off too much. You know, it's a bit of, I suppose, swings and roundabouts in terms of, you know, different teams peaking and then a bit of a rebuild there as well. But no, I think it could be a positive, but I guess it just remains to be seen how they're looking to invest the money. Is it going to be the infrastructure of the club? Is it facilities? Is it players? You know, I think that, but we'll just have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, we'll see if there is going to be any more. And just finally, Keith, we're going to nip over onto the international front, and obviously the Republic of Ireland management will be hoping that the players in the closing number of games, it's the final home game of the qualifiers for Ireland on Friday against Greece, and it's very much like a Finn Harp situation, hoping to give the home fans something to cheer about in the last home game of the year. But you would be hoping that Ireland, with matches to come against Greece and Gibraltar before they meet the Netherlands to wrap things up, that they would be able to get something out of those games.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose with you know, a strong enough squad, obviously that the last two games, you know, was disappointing against France and Holland. Look, a very difficult group. Stephen Kenny, you know, it was going to be really, you know, a big push to try and get anything out of that group anyway. Evan Ferguson, I suppose, is one that he's been sort of pinning his hopes on, and you know, the rest of us as well, that we've got a striker in the Premier League that's scoring goals, and then, which just seemed to be the luck that Stephen Kenny is getting. He's injured for the last two games. Now, it's great that he's back in this week. But, you know, I kind of feel sorry for Stephen Kenny, the way things have gone for him. You know, yes, there is a difficult draw. You know, I spoke to somebody about it earlier, and I was thinking, you know, how do you think he's actually done? And they said, well, you know what, I can actually watch the football now. I don't mind turning on the TV to watch Ireland, which is a plus. At the end of the day, look, it is about qualifying for these major tournaments and being there. I feel maybe his race is run. I think they maybe have, you know, sort of lost a lot of patience with Kenny and the results that he's been getting. But I do feel that whoever comes in after the campaign is over, and it seems like that's going to be the case, you know, they'll have hired a decent squad, a young squad that has a lot of experience, and it's definitely, I think it bodes well for the future.
That's Keith Cowan talking to us today on the Score programme. Keith, of course, will be part of the Derrickview team that plays Ballyclare Comrades tomorrow night, Friday. Institute also in the Championship tomorrow have a game. They are away from home against Ards. And once again, Jeremy Doherty and Gavin Cullen will have live coverage from Finn Harps taking on Athlone Town on Saturday at Finn Park. Well, the junior action for the weekend starts tomorrow night, Friday, in the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1. Gwydir United are playing Cranford United on Friday night at 7:30. While in the Finn Travel Saturday Division 3, Bunnagee United are playing Fannage United, and that one kicks off at 7:45. There's also a programme of games to take place Saturday and Sunday in the Donegal Junior League and likewise in the Inishowen League as well. But suppose standout games this weekend are in the FAI Junior Cup, with six games down for decision, and there's no doubt that the big match is at the Dry Arch Park, where the old rivals from the now defunct Ulster Senior League days are set to clash. Bunnagee United playing host to Cockhill Celtic on Sunday. It starts at 1:30, and we will have live action from that game with Chris Ashmore on Sunday Sport. As for the other matches, Buncrana Hearts take on Ellis Celtic, Donegal Town play Alia, Greencastle face Castle Finn Celtic, Kilmacrenan Celtic host Swilly Rovers, and Letterkenny Rovers are taking on Rathmullen Celtic. Okay, time for a commercial break. We'll have more on the Score coming up after these.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by the Michael Murphy Sports official GAA sale, with 30% off all official Donegal GAA leisure wear until this Monday the 16th. Shop and save online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the Score. Turn your attention now to Gaelic games. The action starts on Friday night with the first of the semi-finals in the Tyrone Senior Football Championship. Trollick and Dungannon are set to go head-to-head tomorrow night at Haley Park in Oma. Starts at 7:30. The second semi-final is on Saturday at 4:15 in Carrickmore. Errigal Kieran will face off with Ardbeau. So we'll know the lineup of the Tyrone Championship Senior, the Senior Championship, that is, come Saturday evening. There's also intermediate semi-finals this weekend with Derry Loughlin against Pomeroy and Clonoe play Moy. And the junior football final's on Sunday in Tyrone, with Fintana up against Drumrah, and that one's at Haley Park at 3:30. It's also a big weekend of action in the Derry Senior Football Championship, with semi-finals taking place as well. On Saturday at 5:45 at Owen Beg, it's Newbridge against O'Donovan Ross and Mahra Felt. And then on Sunday, the defending champions Glen are taking on Slochneil. It's also semi-final weekend with Glenullen playing Drumcern on Saturday and Greenlock up against Banagher on Sunday. Plus, there is a question mark over the senior relegation playoffs as things stand. As we understand, they are both going ahead. Swatra taking on Ballanderry and Loop against Owen Rua. Those matches are scheduled for Saturday, but there has been some question marks over those games taking place this weekend, because whoever loses will be relegated to the Intermediate Championship for next year. But here in Donegal, there will be trophies handed out over the weekend, with the Donegal Junior and Intermediate deciders taking place on Saturday. Narossa are playing Mavill in the Junior A final at the O'Donnell Park, and also at the Letterkenny venue on Sunday, it's Downings against Mallon, who will face off in the Intermediate football final. I've been looking at both those ties with GA journalist and sports writer Peter Campbell. Well, Peter, a number of big finals coming up this weekend in Donegal. We'll start with the first of them, the junior decider, Narossa taking on Mavill. Narossa would have been one of the two sides tipped to make the decider. I don't think Mavill was at the start of the season, because the talk was sort of Niamh Connell and Narossa getting through and fighting it out for the title. But Mavill, the surprise package of the junior championship so far.
Yeah, you'd have to say that. You know, they went to Glenties and beat Niamh Connell, and that probably turned their season around. They've certainly come in under the radar as such. They lost in Narasa, up in Narasa during the group stages. But, you know, when you get to a final, I suppose it'll be, they'll be heading down the road to Letterkenny on Saturday, hoping, you know, for the best. I suppose a big blow to them during the year was maybe their best-known player, Tony McLenaghan. He was, I think he was vice-captain of the Donegal Under-21s, along with Owen Bann, back when they won Ulster. But he emigrated to Australia sometime towards the end, the beginning of the year. And a huge loss for them. You know, they probably rely on the Divers and Danny Murphy has been coming back to form, probably a veteran of the side now. But you know, they got over the line, I suppose, on penalties, was it against Niamh Padraig of Muff. But you know, once you get to a final, it doesn't matter what way you get to it, you're there. And they're going to be they'll be fairly confident going up. You know, they have a big strong physical team, and you know, you'll see what will happen. And Narasa obviously haven't received good news this week. Christian Boner, who got a red card in the semi-final win just at the very end of it against St Mary's of Convoy, they were trying to get that overturned this week, but I'm hearing that the appeal was lost on Tuesday night. I think that they are actually taking it to Ulster. That probably will be heard Thursday night, and they'll be keeping their fingers crossed, because while he hasn't played that much football for them during the year because of injury, when he came on against Niamh Connell and that the decider to see who was 1 and 2 in the group, he made a huge difference. And like, he has huge experience on that side, and he would be a big loss for Narasa, I think.
Yeah, but even with Christian Boner, say at this stage he's not available, Narasa would still be seen as favourites, and it'll be interesting to see how Declan Boner's side are going to carry that on the decider at the O'Donnell Park.
Yeah, it's a big game for them. You know, they haven't won a junior since 1982, and talking to a couple of people in the club last night, and you know, it's a big occasion for them, for that club to get to a final. Like, they do be struggling around the Division 3, Division 4 end of the league for the last number of years, but a little bit of a boost in recent years. They've got some young players. Oisin Caulfield has been playing County Minor. Killian Boner, even though he is carrying an injury at the moment, to a very talented young player. And then they have some of the older hands. They got Johnny Boner in from Niamh Connell a few years ago, and like, he's a linchpin for them in their defence. They have John McDyer. They have, you know, Adrian Hanlon is back with them, and they had the recruit from just across the way, I suppose, Adrian Sweeney, a veteran at 47 years of age, joining them this year. And he probably won't start, but or maybe he will if Christian isn't available. But he's been playing bit parts for them, but I actually saw him play against Niamh Connell in Balbuffet in that playoff game. And like, the old magic of knowing what to do with the ball in his hands was still there. And obviously, by all accounts, Adrian Hanlon had a big game in the semi-final. A really good forward, and with those type of forwards, they certainly have the power and maybe to get over the line against Mobile, and you would say they have to be favourites.
Yeah. Well, listen, the winner, of course, will be going to intermediate football in 2024. This year's intermediate decider is also taking place at the O'Donnell Park on Sunday, and there was five or six teams at the start of the campaign that were being muted as possible intermediate champions this year, and two of that six have managed to get to the decider, Downings and Mallon, Peter, and it's all to play for a place in senior football.
Yeah, the intermediate championship probably has been the standout championship, and maybe it has for the last number of years, because, you know, of the eight teams that got through to the quarterfinals, you could nearly put them on a board and throw a dart, and you would probably have got the semi-finalists. Termon probably were the team that everybody was talking about in the group stages, and you know, probably unlucky not to be in the final, but a last minute goal from Downings got there, and Downings seemed to they seemed to be making a habit of scoring last minute goals. They did it in the league decider against Mallin last year to get up to Division One. Both teams got up to Division One, but a late, late goal, and they were champions, went up as champions. So both Mallin, I probably won't forget that. They would have probably thought they were deserved. They should have taken that win. As I say, both teams playing in Division One, so you know you would expect that there should be a good standard of football, and you know you have good players on either side. Mallin, physically very, very strong team. I saw them early in the season playing Killybegs, down in Killybegs, and they're a very, very good club, Mallin. You know, and I suppose it's a measure of the way football has come on in his own. There are a lot of strong clubs in his own now, and I was just talking about that to somebody about that recently. Like the whole scene has changed as regards the layout of football in Donegal with the emergence of the in his own teams, and they're all very, very good club teams. Like the Padraig Muff, very unlucky not to make the junior final as well this year. So, you know, you're going to have the usual suspects for Mallin as well. You have, you know, the Pildaras are vital to that team. You have the Farns and, you know, and the O'Neills, especially in more recent times, two lads. So, you know, they'll probably go maybe slight favours into this final because of, you know, the way that Downies made the final, probably. Probably the best way possible. A lot of people will say that they're probably lucky to be in the final, but I'm sure that Kevin Gallagher won't be too worried about that when he takes his side to O'Donnell Park for Sunday. A big day for the Roskill side, and it'd be very hard if you put your neck on the block. You'd probably say Mallin probably slight favours to win it, but like I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Downing's pull off another late show and get over the line.
That's Peter Campbell taking a look at those intermediate and junior deciders, where there will of course be coverage here in Highland this coming weekend. And everybody, I'm sure, no doubt on Saturday evening, will be watching the Rugby World Cup quarterfinal, where Ireland are taking on New Zealand. If we go back to last year, Ireland of course beat New Zealand in a test which put them into the number one ranked position in the world. And is that good enough to make them marginal favourites against the All Blacks this coming weekend? Now, we could possibly see sudden death and the golden score brought in this weekend, because the game is expected to be a tight one, and that would mean there would be 20 minutes of extra time played, with two halves of 10 minutes, and then if it's still level, there'll be another additional period of 10 minutes with the golden score to come in. That's what they've been talking about in the lead up to this game. That may not happen at all. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully Ireland are going to see out the game as winners and reach a semi-final for a first time ever in the competition. Looking at that game is our rugby correspondent Alec McDonald, who's been speaking to Highland's Jordan McDade.
Alex, familiar foes in New Zealand this Saturday at the quarterfinal stage, just like in 2019. But off recent form, are the All Blacks to be feared?
Oh yes, I think you have to respect the All Blacks on all occasions, and certainly their last performance against Italy, running in over 90 points, was very impressive. But I don't, you know, maybe you can't take it out of context. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Saturday for them is as big a game as it is for Ireland. It's Ireland's first chance to make the semi-finals after so many years. From New Zealand's point of view, they haven't won the World Cup now for, I think it's 15 years or so. So they will be smarting as well. Both teams are very easily balanced. Somebody asked me the other day, who did I think would win? And I said, sorry, it'd be a very wise man who would be able to give that answer. Both teams are capable of winning. And I think if Ireland play to their strengths and keep it going for 80 minutes, they certainly can come away. But as we all know, you don't beat the All Blacks making mistakes. But that is the thing now, that Andy Farns' team make very few. But it's going to require 80 minutes of complete concentration from everybody in a green jersey.
And there's some good and bad news going into the game in terms of personnel. But we'll start with the good. Mac Hansen, he's back in the right wing, despite not being able to train all week due to his calf injury. But how much of a boost is his inclusion going into this crunch tie?
Well, it's very interesting that you saw both him and James Lowe sitting in the stand, I think it was on Monday, when the team were training. Now, reading yesterday, whenever Andy Farrell announced his team, obviously he said that Mark Hansen was available and they were all fit. But my one worry is, why then does he pick a utility player like Jimmy O'Brien? Very good player he is, and unfortunately Stuart McCloskey misses out because of that. You know, there must be a slight doubt about some of those players if he's picking Jimmy O'Brien, who can play full-back, wing or centre. And that maybe is, I don't know whether it's a weakness. Let's hope it's not. O'Brien is a very good player in that one, and certainly, but as I say, the fact that he's picked a utility back on the bench as against a centre, McCloskey, who had proven himself very much in the game before, makes you wonder if there's still a slight doubt.
And with a bad no, James Ryan, ruled out with a hand injury suffered against Scotland. But how much of a miss will he be?
Well, I don't want to sound condescending, but I don't think he'll be missed as much as the fact is that Ian Henderson at the moment is probably playing the rugby of his life. Henderson on his day is as good a second row as there is in Ireland. And actually, I have been saying for quite a few years that the second row I'd love to see playing together is Tadhg Byrne and Henderson. James Ryan, for me, the fact that he's not fit, well then he can't play. The line-out didn't function in the first two or three games. Once Henderson took over the line-out and the calling and Shane came back, it was a much more solid thing. Now the thing is that unfortunately James Ryan not being playing gives young Joe McCarthy, the Trinity College and Leinster guy, an opportunity. This guy I saw, I mean, last year playing for Leinster, and you earmarked from the word go. Tremendous athlete, big, I don't know what height he is, but he must be 6'6", and a great athlete. And I would imagine it would be a dream come true for him if he could even 15 minutes against the All Blacks on Saturday. And if he does have to come onto the pitch, he certainly will not let the team down.
We haven't got past the quarterfinal stage ever in our history of competing at the Rugby World Cup. But it seems like there's something special in this squad, and if we're ever going to win it, is this it?
Oh yeah, but you know, I know you people keep saying about 15 or 16 victories in a row. Fantastic, but I think it's the manner of the victories. Every obstacle that has been put in front of them now in the last 2 years. I mean, they went out to New Zealand, they lost the first test quite considerably, but back they came and won the series. And I mean, nobody does that out in New Zealand. That's, you know, and New Zealand will be very aware of that. They've also beaten them twice, the famous Stockdale chip and chase, which they won. They beat them in Boston. You know, they've had three or four victories now over the All Blacks, so they're not invincible. If you look at the team, they're an aging team in certain departments. But as I say, a wounded Kiwi, as you have to be very, very wary of it. And New Zealand's pride and what they want to do, because as far as they're concerned, they're as near to winning the Webb Ellis Trophy as Ireland are, and that's what makes this particular game fascinating.
And finally, if it's Jonathan Sexton's final game in an Ireland shirt, how will he be remembered?
Well, I think there's only one word to use, warrior. I mean, you know, it's quite amazing if a man that's in his 39th year, and the way he's playing rugby at the moment, having not played for 6 months, you know, it just shows you the class of the man. Once he gets fit, there's nobody any better. And, I mean, I'm sure Johnny Sexton, knowing the attitude he has, he'll be instilling in the team that he doesn't want to throw the jersey off. He wants another cap. Hopefully he'll get it. But if Ireland failed to do it, I think he'll be remembered as a tremendous leader. Certainly a bit of an extrovert in the sense that he wouldn't have been the most modest of players on the pitch, but that again is what made him great, the fact that he was so argumentative in people's faces, and that's what brought, I think, the best out of him and also his team.
It will all come to a standstill on a Saturday night with Ireland taking on New Zealand in the Rugby World Cup quarterfinal. Okay, we're going for another break, and when we come back we'll have our concluding part of the score, where we'll be hearing about the sporting activities at ATU Donegal.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by the Michael Murphy Sports official GAA sale, with 30% off all official Donegal GAA leisure wear until this Monday the 16th. Shop and save online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the score. So the new season of college sport is up and running for ATU Donegal. Students have, of course, been excelling not just on the educational front, but also with sporting teams in recent years at the college. Last season, the men's senior soccer side reached the Premier Division final. The Ladies Gaelic Footballers won the Lynch Cup, while the basketball side also reached a national final. The new season got up and running this week with all three teams taking victory, including the badminton team, plus the men's soccer side were 2-1 winners against ATU Sligo. And just last night as well, Kiva Hearn scored 4 goals and Brona Gallagher scored a hat-trick as the women's soccer side defeated University of Ulster McGee by 8-1. Well, ATU hosted a launch earlier this week ahead of the start of the campaign, and Dara Boner of the Donegal News went along for Highland Radio Sport, where he spoke to the soccer manager Shane Byrne, the men's Gaelic football manager Maxi Kern, but first of all, head of sport at ATU Michael Murphy, who is excited about another busy year ahead, both on and off the field.
Yeah, the first few weeks have been brilliant. The sign up to all of our teams and our competitive sports here has been great. And the fixtures now starting, suppose we're starting of week 4 here, and the teams are starting their competitive fixtures here now with our men's and ladies soccer team out this week, and that'll be followed by our basketball teams and our GA teams, our camogie teams and our hurling teams next week. So yeah, we're looking forward to seeing all that, and our badminton team is out next week also. So the sports have increased here. We would always have been had the more mainstream Irish sports here in terms of our basketball, our soccer and our GA, but we've definitely added to it over the last number of years, and added to it quite successfully in terms of, you know, our badminton, Olympic weightlifting, boxing and, you know, athletics across all those different teams, you know.
Yeah, and it's important to have that mix as well, because as you can see, there is such a wide variety here now, and they're reaping the rewards for it too.
Yeah, listen, without a doubt. I mean, you know, our young people in society now are exposed to so many opportunities across all different sports. You know, you just have to look at a schedule of a young person. They could be anything from a gymnast to a soccer team to a Gaelic team, and we try to embrace that here and give them the opportunity to do that. And as I say, there's just more students putting their hands up, you know, coming up every year to say, and is this available to compete in? You know, karate has grown here over the last number of years, and we've been quite successful with third level competition within that sport. And as I say, we're just always looking to give any student that comes here the opportunity to get a top class education, number one, which we believe the variety of courses here on offer can do, and we're also giving them the opportunity to compete at third level in a sport, whatever sport that is of their choice, and we want to, I suppose, give as many of our students that opportunity to do so.
And since you've come into this role, I'm sure you've noticed a lot of success as well for the wide range of sports, from your Gaelics to your basketballs and everything.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like, I mean, the big one that we have here, number one, as I say, if we look at the you know, both male and female sports here are really strong. If anything, female sports has been increasingly successful here at ATU Donegal over the recent years. You know, our ladies soccer team competes in Division 1. Our men's soccer team competes in the Premier Division, which is the highest division of soccer, third level soccer available here in the country. Our Gaelic football teams, our men's senior Gaelic football team and our fresher Gaelic football team play at the highest level available to them at Sigerson and at Division 1 fresher. Our ladies Gaelic football team has been massively successful in the last couple of years. They were competing in Division 4 2 years ago, and under the stewardship of Barney Curran over the last 2 years, they've gained back-to-back promotions. They'll be now competing at Division 2, which is the highest they've ever competed in at third level here in the history of the college. So huge achievements there. Hurling is growing. We've introduced a camogie team for the first time here, and they'll be competing this year under the banner of ATU Donegal and camogie, so we're excited about introducing that new sport. Badminton has started here, and they compete competitively also, so it's just that wider offering. The list kind of can go on. Boxing is here also. We have a box team that competes annually here for us, so whatever sport is, it can be competed on a third level. We're nearly in and around trying to compete there, and that's what we want. We want our students who are around the northwest of Sligo who come here, we want to give them that opportunity that they can get what's on offer here. They don't have to go to Dublin, they don't have to go to Belfast. If the course is an offer that they like, they can come here and do that, and the sport will be equally of advantage to them here also.
And not to single any sport out, but obviously being a Gaelic football man yourself and played in the Sigerson plenty of times, it's great to see ATU in the Sigerson again.
Yeah, listen, like all of our sports, you know, everybody will probably say I come from the GAA background. I have a soft spot for that sport. Being honest, I absolutely love all sports. You know, I've taken more pride over the performance of our basketball teams and our soccer teams over the last number of years. Seeing some of our individual athletes and athletics and karate go around, I've taken a lot more pride in that there sometimes than within, I suppose, maybe my chosen sport of Gaelic Games. But listen, there's no doubt. You know, as somebody that's got opportunity to play Sigerson and know the historic nature of the competition, to have a third level university in Donegal playing at Sigerson Cup level is a fantastic achievement. But likewise, it is, as I said, in men's basketball. They got to the varsity finals last year in Division 1, which is the top level. They narrowly got beat in the last few seconds of that game by Galway, University of Galway. As I say, you know, there equally, I'm as proud of those actions of all those teams as I am of anything in regards to GAA. But yeah, it is super for them to be able to do that, and likewise for a fresher team to be competing here for the last number of years has been great also.
So Maxi, we're a week out from the start of the ATU GAA league campaign. How's the squad looking coming into it?
Yeah, well, look, it's very early days. You know, it's a tricky start to the competition because you're just at the tail end of the club championship. And look, a lot of these boys a lot of them that are in county squads have been hell for leather for 10 months, you know, and the last thing they want is to go headfirst into another series campaign. So, look, you have to try and juggle that. And then there's a lot of boys that maybe haven't been doing much for maybe a month or so that maybe exited early. So, you're trying to get those boys up to speed, and then you're trying to integrate, you know, some new students into the setup as well. So, it's a bit of juggling at the time of year that's in it. But, look, it's a competition the boys love playing in, and, you know, it doesn't seem to have any bother to get them out anyway. You know, they like the standards, a very high standard. You know, a lot of people feel that it's just the step below county senior, you know, with the amount of seniors that are playing. So, yeah, look, it's we're looking forward to it, and then the boys themselves are looking forward to it.
Yeah, and typically, as is every year, I'm sure you've lost a couple of key men this year. Who's...
Yeah, look, from, you know, there are a couple of big hitters from last year, like Connor O'Donnell and Kieran Tobin and Joel Bradley Welch and Carlos O'Reilly. Those kind of guys are gone, and, you know, a big loss to us, surely, and, you know, real Ray McFadden, look, hard, big boots to fill. But look, you'll always gain a couple as well. As we've Luke McGlynn from Glenfann, who moves up from freshers into the second year of his course, so he's able to play, and Ashton Caulfield and Rossa, the same, another man that's a big inter-county career behind him at underage level. So look, those boys are additions, and look, you always pick up one or two others then. And Kane Mulligan from McCool's would have played fresher last year and had a real good club championship. So boys like that will definitely strengthen our squad. And you know, you don't replace the likes of Conor O'Donnell, but look, you just hope that you can make up the ground in some way.
Yeah, for some of those boys, they're just coming out of their championship, as you said already. It's quite turnaround. They don't get much time off in the Gaelic.
No, they don't. But look, I think this is probably a competition that the boys enjoy more than most, because the ratio of turning into games is very much in favour of the games, which is pretty unheard of in Gaelic games, you know. And you know, the games come thick and fast when they start, and you know, there's not a huge amount of training done because they're just, as you say, they're just coming off the back of their clubs. So the last thing they want is anything serious or a high volume of training, and they're all in good shape anyway. So it's nice in that perspective, and they're getting to play with mates and maybe boys from other clubs that they have never played with before, maybe we aren't on county panels and that. So and even some of them play against their own club mates for other colleges. So look, that's nice as well. A lot of Donegal boys would have played against us last year for DCU, you know, Shane O'Donnell and Ross Marley, these kind of guys. So, you know, they're all club mates of boys around here. So yeah, look, that bit's nice. And look, it's just a lovely competition, and it's a very high standard, and boys seem to enjoy it. And look, we're just looking forward to getting going again.
And you're coming into the group stage now, three games coming up in the next month, I believe.
Yeah, look, very tough. We're away next week in Garvahi against St Mary's, and next Wednesday, and then the following week we're home to Queen's, which is a real tough assignment, and then the last one's a real haymaker. We're heading for Jordantown and 2 weeks after that. So yeah, look, you're up against the creme de la creme, you know. Those Ulster colleges have a huge pick of, you know, the cream of players in Ulster, and you know, those teams always compete so well at all the underage competitions nationally. You know, Tyrone won All-Ireland under 2-1-2 over the last couple of years, and you know, Derry won a minor All-Ireland this year. So those boys are all going to those Belfast colleges, and you know, it's a very high standard. But look, we managed to hold our own, and look, I think even for Donegal football, it's a great platform for the boys to get a taste for playing against those better teams.
I suppose with the ever-changing teams, it's always hard to know what exactly could happen, but is there a certain expectation after last year, or a hope for the campaign?
Well, you know, I think when you consider the fact that a college of the size of UL and Limerick has never actually won a Sigerson football title, you know, that tells you how hard it is to win. We take great pride in the fact that we're able to compete. Look, we're a really small college, small numbers. We're growing all the time, and we're now providing an outlet for Donegal students to play college football at the highest level on their own doorstep, you know, which is great for us to be able to offer Donegal students that. And we feel for Donegal football, we're providing a great service, providing football at the highest level for those guys as well. It helps their development. So, you know, all of that's very important. And look, if we can be competitive along the way and, you know, go toe to toe these boys over a couple of great days this last couple of years, you know, beat UCD the year before last, and we took Charlestown to a point last year and Galway to a point the year before that when they went on and won it. So look, we have held our own, and the Nature College football is, look, if you can get everybody available and stay injury free at a time of the year when the boys are very busy, it gives yourself a great chance, and that's what you're hoping for.
And is there any changes to the backroom team, or are you the same as last year?
Look, we've a couple of additions, yeah. Dan Connaught from Terman has joined us, and Aidan McAteer from Fannett will be involved with us. So yeah, look, we're growing the family all the time, and anybody that's anyway interested in getting involved, we're mad looking for help. And you know, people that want to get involved as football at this level, they'll help be greatly appreciated.
Shane, we're at the launch here of the ATU Sports Clubs and Societies. Obviously, ATU Donegal soccer team get their campaign underway this week. How's the team looking coming onto it?
Well, we've got a lot of new players coming out of the college. I see first years coming on. They look good. We lost a lot of experienced players from last year. The start of the year, it's a funny kind of one, those first couple of fixtures, because so the senior clubs are holding on to their players, they're not releasing them, and then you're waiting to, you could be out of the competition before you get all the players that you want.
Yeah. Just on those players that have left, I think there's quite a lot from the team last year. Obviously a very successful year last year, I suppose, too, getting to the final of the Premier Division.
Yeah, we're in the final of the cup last year, and we consolidated our position in the Premier Division, which is was a great year for us. I would quite happily take the same this year again. But it's a matter of getting blood in these young players in now, and getting all the players that we have available to us, you know, into a squad, and get them working together and see what we have then.
Yeah, and you've been manager for quite a while. You've been telling me there. I think you know all about it, the comings and goings of players. What are the new younger players coming in? How have they adapted to the team?
Oh, they've adapted really well. We haven't really seen much. We've just had them in maybe four training sessions. They've adapted well. College football's different from every other type of football that you've been, because you've players coming and going all the time. After the third and fourth year, you lose a lot. First year, you get them in. You're ideally looking for maybe a team made up of third and fourth years, because they're that couple of years older. And at the minute, we have last year and this year, we're dealing a lot with first year students coming on. So to consolidate our position in the Premier Division would be a great season for us, I think, this year again.
That's Shane Byrne bringing to an end that package on Sport at ATU Donegal, and it also brings an end to the Score programme tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you'll be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. What's left of your Thursday, have a very good evening. Thanks for listening.